Australia's expert panel on vaccination has revised its advice on AstraZeneca vaccines once again for people in coronavirus outbreak areas. The Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation, ATAGI's, latest advice is for people in outbreak areas like Sydney to receive their second dose of the AZ vaccine between 4 and 8 weeks after their first dose, rather than between 4 and 12 weeks. I'm joined this evening by Julie Leask, professor and social scientist specialising in vaccine research at the University of Sydney, to talk about the changing advice that's been offered. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Patricia.
So we've got this latest advice now from ATAGI, and it says, let's start with this part. It says that people who are young in these high-risk areas should think about that real threat of COVID and ask for AstraZeneca. That's essentially the advice. Have I got it right?
Yeah, that's right. That while Pfizer is preferred for the under 60s where you've got an outbreak situation, people can reconsider the AstraZeneca vaccine weighing the risk and benefits.
So is that further confusing or is that a good change?
Well, as we've discussed before, this was never a hard and fast recommendation that at this age you can't have, you know, below this age you cannot have the AstraZeneca vaccine. It was always a preference. And ATAGI were always clear that preference in their recommendation would potentially change depending on the risk of COVID around us. And when they made the original recommendations, the risks were very low. But in Sydney, they're higher. And we have people in hospital, in intensive care. 2 people have died. So it's kind of like the, you know, if you think of risks of vaccination and risks of disease balancing against each other, we're just tipping more in favour of vaccinating for those younger age groups, given the background risk of disease.
What do you make of the latest advice from ATAGI to shorten the preferred vaccination interval between AstraZeneca doses in outbreak areas as well?
It's a similar recommendation. It's responding to the risk environment that we have with this outbreak. Whilst you do lose a little bit of effectiveness in the vaccine, if you have a dosing interval that's less than 12 weeks, it's still worthwhile having that 4 to 8 weeks dosing interval right now, because then you get that second dose protection in your body, which is a good thing to have during an outbreak. And there's good availability of this vaccine, so it's not like you're kind of having to wait around for it. So there is a little bit of a trade-off there, but it's only a slight change in the effectiveness, and therefore they recommend that you can drop that dosing interval.
Will the speeding up of AstraZeneca vaccines in COVID-19 outbreak areas lead to improved immunity?
Yes, it will, because you have, first of all, you have greater access, but you also have more people walking around with 2 doses on board, which brings their immunity to COVID up and protects them individually, but also increases their protection of passing, reduces their risk of passing COVID on to other people through that having that second dose. So it's a good thing.
How safe is it to get as many people as possible vaccinated in coronavirus outbreak areas, given the risk of that rare clotting condition like AstraZeneca?
Yeah, so the clotting condition, thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome, happens in about 2 in every 100,000 people vaccinated, and that risk is around that for the first dose, and it drops to 1.6 per million for the second dose. So it's quite rare for the first dose and extremely rare for the second dose. But it is a serious side effect. It will put people in hospital. And that means that when people are weighing the risks and benefits, I think it's important that they're informing themselves. There's a handy guide developed by Atagi called Weighing Up the Potential Benefits Against Risks of Harm from the AstraZeneca Vaccine, which kind of gives you some of this information in visual format to help you look at that risk-benefit balance ledger, if you like, for the different age groups. But, you know, as I said, in an outbreak situation, the benefits get stronger, and it's definitely worth people considering seriously having that vaccine and bringing their second dose forward.
We still get a lot of people texting in about vaccine mixing. And I've heard Norman Swan, for instance, from our very own Radio National Health Report, talk about this opportunity for vaccine mixing. So if people are getting the first AstraZeneca, perhaps the rules could be looked at to let them get the second Pfizer. Should the government be, or and their health advisors, be actively looking at that?
I'm quite confident they will be looking at that. As I understand it, the evidence that's available now is what it does to antibodies. So there's promising evidence that having this dose interchangeability, so for example, starting off with AstraZeneca and for your second dose having Pfizer, when it's available, will give you stronger immunity than just having AstraZeneca than AstraZeneca. Now, I'm not talking here about an outbreak situation, which is slightly exceptional where you want protection sooner. I'm talking about the future. And that means that we still need to look at the kind of real-world data of how this plays out with actual infection prevention. It's not enough to just measure antibodies. You've got to see whether that actually correlates with actual reduction in disease, symptomatic or worse. And then you've also got to consider the safety. So we know that it's likely that mixing the doses will create a little bit more of that sort of systemic reaction you get in the day after, the headache, the tiredness and sore muscles and so forth. What that means for more rare serious side effects, we don't know yet, but I'm sure that they'll be looking at that very carefully. And we can be confident that whatever recommendation we get from Atagi will have been based on a careful weighing of the evidence that they have to date and making sure that it's good enough evidence to inform our program.
Is it unfortunate that we've got so much different advice from Atagi, though, on AstraZeneca?
There is a real cost to constantly changing the recommendations, but there's also that benefit of showing that they're flexible and they're sensitive to the context that we face. And that's the reality of what we've got. We've got a highly dynamic risk environment where the risk of COVID changes constantly for populations. And that's why they constantly have to shift these recommendations, because they're weighing vaccine against disease risks. And that will bring downsides, including confusion, constantly changing recommendations, confusion for professionals who are trying to keep up with and advise their patients, confusion for the general public. And that is a real risk, but it's also a benefit in that it's showing flexibility and responsiveness to evidence.
Okay, go get vaccinated. It's really the lesson, isn't it? Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
That's Julie Leask, professor and social scientist specialising in vaccine research at the University of Sydney. This is RN Drive.